Every day, Bill Frank...
We're going to be doing one thing, and one thing only.
...talks with the best guests in America about business.
You mean business?
Monkey business?
Are you ready to get down to business?
All right! Everybody's here, and that means we can get down to business.
Entertainment.
Entertainment.
The entertainment capital of the world.
What kind of entertainment?
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Sports.
Game on.
A grueling test of strength, speed, and stamina.
Wow, just like in the pros.
And the local community.
The rage in local radio.
Find out what's going on locally.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time now for the Bill Frank Radio Show on News Talk 1520 KVTA. Now, here's your host.
Bill Frank.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show. We're on every day Monday through Friday at 3 o'clock here on News Talk 1520 KVTA. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. The Bill Frank Show is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 289-1520, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-289-1520. The threat of nuclear power with Iran poses a real issue to the United States and to the world. Israel, the United States, and other Western countries believe that Iran's nuclear program is a cover for developing atomic weapons. Concern over what to do with Iran came to a head during Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's visit to President Obama at the White House. Israel asserts its rights to defend itself militarily against the Iranian nuclear threat. President Obama prefers sanctions to military action in the region. It's a logical concern with U.S. troops already stretched thin across the globe. Recently, Iranian officials offered permanent human monitoring of the nuclear sites, softening their earlier belligerent talk of closing the Straits of Hormuz if they are attacked. My next guest has reported extensively from the region, and he's here to help us make sense of it all. Bob Evans is president and founding director of the Global Trends Institute in Atlanta. Bob has lived and worked in several dozen countries covering five different continents. He got his news training from one of the best in the business. He was special assistant to Edward R. Murrow. He worked in New York, Chicago, Washington, D.C. for CBS News, and then was sent to Atlanta to open up the CBS News Bureau covering the Civil Rights Revolution. He then became CBS News television radio correspondent and bureau chief in Moscow. Bob left the network to form his own business, Televance Productions. He's reported on from 11 different Islamic countries and Israel. Bob also has the unusual knowledge of Afghanistan. He has taken a Jeep expedition trip across the Middle East and through Afghanistan. Joining us from Atlanta. Hi, Bob. How are you tonight?
The invitation.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being my guest and for being a thought leader in this particular area, because this is a thorny issue and I want to try to make some sense of it. So let's start out. The United States has really not enjoyed good foreign relationships with Iran, stretching all the way back to the late 1970s. Of course, there was the ouster of the Shah of Iran, the rise of Ayatollah Khomeini, the Iranian hostage situation, which didn't end until President Reagan was brought into office. Iran remains a concern for the United States. So my question to you is, how real is this Iranian nuclear threat to the world and to the United States?
Well, it really depends on whom you're going to ask, because there are different perspectives on a different points of view. For my own interest, I think there probably is a significant risk of whatever might happen in Iran, because they've also acted to the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency. They've been very reluctant under the Non-Proliferation Treaty of admitting the IAEA inspectors to examine and monitor certain operations they have in different locations. And though they have indeed maintained that they're only going to do it for civilian use, they've continued to upgrade their uranium, and they evidently are coming very close to being in a position where, if they choose, they would have a capability, they could move from that to a weapon.
Well, now, they've just softened their position a little bit, though, to allow human inspection of these plants. Now, that's a slippery slope. We know from Iraq, where Iraq let us in to take a look at their facilities, and we were always concerned, very skeptical, that what we were seeing might have been sanitized somehow. Is this softening of the position on the part of Iran, is that some sort of a concession to the United States for the sanctions that we've had on them, or is this a ploy that they're using?
I think it could be a bit of both. The difficulty is not necessarily having the West be able to insert people in to monitor and look, but it's also giving the West access to which sites they wish to examine, because there have been several that have been recently constructed, particularly one not very far from the holy city of Qom, where they have evidently started constructing an underground nuclear improvement facility, and that, of course, they're not willing to let Westerners come in to examine. So I think until they become completely open and revealing, until they agree to admit people to examine what needs to be examined, it's difficult to have confidence in them. They're not going to really do what the weapon would bring.
All right. My guest is Bob Evans. We're talking about the Iranian nuclear program that's over there. Now, Bob, help sort this out for me, because the United States acknowledges a nuclear Pakistan, which is another Islamic nation, a nuclear India, who is the archenemy of Pakistan, and even we suspect that there's a nuclear Israel as well. So what makes nuclear Iran different from these other nuclear-equipped countries?
Well, I think it's like looking at four different people sitting around a table or standing in a room. You look at what their history has brought them to where they are now. And I think it's very true that the difficulty you've had between Pakistan and India is something that for now 40 years they have really abstained from war, even though they were in conflict before that. And I think the same thing is true to a lesser degree, perhaps, with North Korea. It's intriguing that with North Korea, the adjacent countries that would feel most threatened by them, namely South Korea and Japan, have not chosen to go nuclear. But I think in view of the track record of what we've seen coming out of Tehran, it really gives us cause, I believe, to really pause, because we're not sure how much we can be confident in what they give us assurance on without having something to examine. And when they won't give us the liberty of really going to wherever we choose to go, then it's hard for us to accept them as being cooperative.
All right, a couple things, Bob. First of all, as far as Japan being a close neighbor to North Korea, that's true. But isn't Japan prevented from having nuclear weapons because of the treaty we signed at the end of World War II?
Yes, I think that's true.
Yes.
There are other things they might have done to react as a neighbor to someone who had nuclear capability. But the Japanese have, I think, primarily under the guidance and the monitoring of the United States, and with American assistance too, the Japanese have been able to assure themselves that they're not going to be necessarily threatened by any kind of a nuclear strike from North Korea.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. But I want to return back to Pakistan, because Pakistan is not necessarily our best friend at the moment either, and historically hasn't been. So here we have an Islamic nation, nuclear armed, and yet we don't demand inspections there because we perhaps don't feel as threatened as maybe India does. Why the difference in approach between Pakistan and Iran?
But one of the problems with Pakistan is that we really have a government that may not be very strong and stable. We also have a military there that is as much a commandeering kind of institution as they've had. And we have to try and strike a balance. We're not able to have our political way to make any kind of demands. And so although we've given the Pakistanis a great deal of aid, and we've had some presence there as well, and of course I'm sure you've seen the articles about how much there's a safe haven in the northwestern corner of Pakistan for terrorists who've been active in Afghanistan.
Yes.
There's not a great deal more we can do with them without really trying to push them further than I believe they may be willing to go. And because it is such a delicate matter, we simply don't want to push it off whatever balance it now has.
All right. My guest is Bob Evans. We're talking about the nuclear situation in Iran. And, Bob, when we come back, I want to talk about the military option that is on the table from Israel. And I want to talk about the feasibility of that. I want to talk about the likelihood of that. Bob, before we jump back into the interview, I'm just curious, as an avid news junkie, fascinated by the fact that you were tutored by Edward R. Murrow. What sort of man was he like? What was the culture of news at CBS at that time?
Well, let me deal with the first one initially. He was really an extraordinary, remarkable guy. He had a capacity for, I think, insight into aspects of different circumstances that really were beyond the reach of most people. I think he also had the courage to speak up and go to wherever his truth would lead him. He had an unusual kind of habit, too. It was a big office that he had when he was in the government in Washington, and he had his large desk, and then against one wall he had a very large stand-up editor's table, which is to say you take in a newspaper and open both pages to it. You can then read it standing up or do whatever kind of editing you wanted with it. That was the way he was accustomed to reading the paper. He was a remarkable man because of his, I think, his integrity and his interest and care for people. He had a great deal of humanity, I think, in terms of an instinct. And, of course, with all of the things that he was able to do, I sometimes have referred to him as the Christopher Columbus of broadcast news. He really did initiate many of the things that even in this time and space here and now are the standards that we all accept. But back when Ed Murrow put them into effect, they were new and very strange then.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. My guest is Bob Evans. So, Bob, back to the Iranian nuclear situation. Military option is on the table. Israel is banging the drum, saying that they have the right to defend their homeland. The reality is, though, that this is a very tricky operation. Even if Israel does go through with its threat, how are they going to be able to execute military raids on diverse plants that are producing uranium throughout the country of Iran and really negate the Iranian nuclear program?
Well, that's really one of the obstacles that they have to overcome, and I think it's one of the things that maybe encourages the American government to believe that perhaps the Israelis will accept the Washington urgings to not go ahead with the attack right away. One of the things that Netanyahu obviously wanted to do was to make certain that there was no concern in Washington about Israel waiting for American instruction. The Israelis, after all, have a different circumstance from the United States because they have... they have the threat on their border. They're talking about their own national survival.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, if you'll allow me, just the deletion off to an issue about Syria. Iran is very much, I think, isolated in the Middle East. They're not an Arab country. They are a Shiite country, and the rest of the Arab world, the majority of it, is Sunni. And the one friend in the Arab world that the Iranians have is Syria. Now, with all the turmoil and the bloodletting that's going on in Syria, the Syrians also have been throughout the Iranian sponsorship of Hezbollah, the terror group on the northern Israeli border, and Hamas down in the south. They have really been the source of all the kind of munitions, weaponry, and various technologies that the Iranians have been putting through to them. In addition, the Iranians have always relied on the Syrian banks in Damascus for their communication and financial access to the banking system of Europe. So there's a great deal of interest by the Iranians in making sure that the Syrians don't go under.
That makes a lot of sense. My guest is Bob Evans. He is the president of the Global Trends Institute in Atlanta. Certainly is a wealth of knowledge on this area. Bob, if people are intrigued by what you say and they want to learn more about you, learn more about this subject, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, the website is Evans Trends. Evans, E-V-A-N-S, Trends, T-R-E-N-D-S.
EvansTrends.com. Bob, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Bill, my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.